The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
You're very welcome along to tonight's Off The Ball. Well, Ireland may well have been more flat than flatly in Tbilisi at the weekend, but their fate is in their own hands in terms of Euro 2020. A win tomorrow night against Switzerland and our live game here on Off The Ball, and they will qualify for next summer's Euro 2020. They also have the extra chance of getting a victory against Denmark in their final game as well. We'll look back on that game with Damien Delaney in the next hour, and in the football show we'll be crossing live to Geneva to speak to Stephen Doyle and to Richie McCormack, and we'll be getting reaction from Mick McCarthy's press conference this evening as well, where he hinted that Aaron Connolly could play and possibly up front tomorrow night against the Swiss as well. Bundiaki's World Cup is over. The first man to be sent off at a Rugby World Cup for Ireland has been handed a 3-game ban for his tackle against Samoa. He'll play no further part pending an appeal at the rest of the tournament. We'll talk about that impact. A man who's only missed 5 games since he made his debut for Ireland in terms of our chances against the defending champions, the All Blacks, this weekend. We'll be crossing to Tokyo in the early hours of the morning to speak to Rory O'Connor about the impact of that and Ireland's chances against the defending champions, New Zealand as well. All that to come between now and 10 on Off The Ball. We're joined by Kieran Cunningham this evening. Good evening to you, Kieran.
How are you?
And Anne-Marie Donlan from Off The Ball Sport joins us here as well to take us through all of the sporting news this evening. Kieran, to start off, I mean, we heard Johnny Sexton today talk about the fact that maybe the Irish supporting public and the media are possibly too downbeat about the Irish team. We listened to a lot of negativity after the Republic of Ireland's draw in Tbilisi as well. Mm. Are we too hard on our teams?
No. I wouldn't think so. No, like the reaction to take rugby first of all. The reaction after the Japan game wasn't just based on the Japan game. It was based on the year as a whole, where you had a very underwhelming Six Nations. You had an absolute hammering by England at a World Cup warm-up game, and just things didn't seem to be right. So. They weren't particularly convincing against Russia either. So, like, it was never at the level of 2007. And he's right to bring that up. Like, I was at the 2007 World Cup, and you kind of knew from early on, this is just not going to happen. But, you know,
they probably weren't as poor as they were against Namibia in 2007, though.
No, that's what I mean. Like, they weren't. Like back then, I think you knew, even the France, when they went into the France and Argentina games, there's still a time to turn it around back then. But you kind of just knew it was gone. Just the whole mood music around the place, they just wanted to be out of there. Whereas this time, in a way, they're actually going into this. Like Joe Schmidt 4 years ago, we know what happened against Argentina in the quarterfinal. Like, they were just decimated by injuries, and they got more injuries in that game and to a lot of key players. And now they have lost Bundiaki. But other than that, he probably is 90%, if not 95% of the players he wants to have for a quarterfinal against the All Blacks. And if you told him that a year ago, he'd been delighted. Like, so that's what you want. You want them going in. Like, the concern you would have now is Aki's injury. If they do get past New Zealand, like, it's going to be an incredibly attritional game, and you would think you're going to lose players for the semi-final. So you would really like to, like, he will be a massive loss, but I don't think he can be looking at a semi-final quite yet.
Some of the argument goes with the Irish rugby team, though, that, like, 4 years ago, everyone was expecting to beat Argentina, despite the fact they picked up so many injuries against France. The expectation still was they beat Argentina, they go to a semi-final for the first time. This time around, does it maybe suit Ireland to a certain extent, because they are 10-point underdogs going into that game against New Zealand?
Yeah.
You know, the expectation is all on the All Blacks. They haven't had a game now for a couple of weeks. This might just suit Ireland to maybe come in under the radar a little bit.
Well, I think what suits them is they know they have the match of the All Blacks. You know, not just the two games they beat them in. There was another couple of games in the last few years that were really, really close. That could have gone either way. So they've been very, very competitive against them consistently. It hasn't been a one-off. So they know they have a game that troubles New Zealand. So I think that will stand to them. And I think also there's a little bit of perspective now, because we've seen more of Japan, and Japan are fantastic.
And best team to watch at this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely,
so far.
By a mile. Like, they're very, very hard to play against now. As for the Ireland soccer team, I don't think we'll be too hard on them, because they're in a really strange situation, because they could qualify automatically with a game to go. And it wouldn't really surprise me if they do, because Switzerland have a habit of leaking late goals, and Ireland have a habit of coming with this late flurry where they do nothing for 80 minutes and then the three or four really good chances the last 10.
That's what scares me when we score too early in games.
Yeah.
We seem nervous then for the rest of it.
But you would look at it so far. Like, Ireland have a back five, even though the back five has changed, is strong. Like, we've only conceded 2 goals in 6 games, which is very good. But from midfield up, the team is a bit of a mess. Like, you've only scored 6 goals in 6 games. And that includes 2 games against Gibraltar, easily one of the worst teams in the world, and two games against Georgia.
They only
scored one goal in those 2 games, and they're ranked 91st in the world. And we kind of talked them a bit up too much because they'd drawn with Denmark. But Denmark should have won that game 3-0 or 4-0. They were comfortably the better team. But on Saturday, you know, Ireland were outpassed by them again. You know, it was a messy game. It's hard to say anybody controlled it, but if there was any control going on, it was coming from Georgia. So, like, Peter Schmeichel came out and said, this is a bad Ireland team. You know, Switzerland, he told the Switzerland goalkeeper, you will win. They're a bad team. And I can see where he's coming from. Like, if we weren't Irish, would we watch the Ireland team?
No, unless
on paper,
you hadn't seen it.
Ireland qualifying tomorrow makes no sense.
No, well, I think it makes sense. It makes sense in the context of international football now. It kind of hammers home how poor it is and how many teams qualify, because it's a really, really limited team, and there were very, very good Ireland teams before that didn't get close to qualifying, and this team could qualify with the game to go. I think it just shows you where international football is now.
I mean, we were watching the game on Saturday, and I think everyone was very excited in the office before kickoff, and this is what happens with the Republic of Ireland, is everyone gets that kind of come on you boys in green feeling an hour or two before kickoff, and then the actual football happens.
Yeah, and it was possibly one of the most dour games in a very, very long time. It was boring. That's the only way you can describe it. It was boring.
But in a way, it doesn't really matter, because if the Republic of Ireland go out tomorrow night, they have shown in the past that in big games, they can raise their performance, be very difficult to break down. Ireland get a goal from a set piece or from a cross. It doesn't really matter. That's what Mick McCarthy will say. The style of football is irrelevant.
No, well, his job is to get them qualified. And
we'll have qualified without a great performance.
Yeah. Well, no, I think they will need to come up with a performance, because I think if you do look at when Ireland have qualified before, there's always been at least one game where they've come up with a big win, a big performance, and they haven't done that so far.
Germany,
I think in either of the last 2 games, they'll have to come up with something. Because, Switzerland haven't lost at home in 5 years. Ireland in the last, I think it's 22 years, have only beaten the higher seed team away from home once, and that was Austria a couple of years ago. So it's something that's very difficult for Ireland teams to do, and it's difficult to win in Switzerland. So I think it will need something exceptional. But there's more in that Ireland team. We see them play for their clubs, and they often show far more than they're shown for Ireland. But, you know, I hate all the stuff about Aaron Connolly, because the way to get a great reputation as an Irish footballer is not to be picked.
Yeah.
You know, so like Wes Hoolan, I was always surprised when he wasn't on the shortlist for the Ballon d'Or, because every time he was on the bench, he was the greatest player in the world.
Being Jack Burns, maybe getting that.
Yeah, like Andy Reid spent most of his career in the Championship, but, you know, we were talking him up like he was the cross between Messi, Ronaldo, and...
But is that because we've had so many players who maybe, you know, are not the best on the ball, so therefore we're just hoping that one of them come in and change?
No, I think he does look like he's definitely good enough to start. Like, from what I've seen of Scott Hogan and James Collins, even though he's only played, I think it's 154 minutes for Brighton, he's still ahead of them. Like, he still offers a bit of danger, and he's a bit of attitude about him, which is no bad thing. And, he's young, he's fresh, he's different. Switzerland will know nothing about him. Like, I think you have to throw him in now, because I can't see anybody else in that squad scoring, any of the other attacking players scoring in these 2 games.
It's something we'll put to former Ireland defender Damien Delaney in a little bit. Anne-Marie, where are we kicking things off tonight?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the rugby, and Bundiaki's World Cup is over. The Connacht Centre received a 3-match ban today at a disciplinary hearing that was following his red card for the dangerous tackle in Saturday's Pool A win over Samoa. World Rugby said that the Independent Judicial Committee upheld the decision by referee Nick Berry, as there was direct contact of the player's left shoulder to the ball carrier's head, and they did not accept that there was a low degree of danger. Their statement went on to say then that although the tackle occurred quickly, the player's tackle height was high and it was accepted. He did not make a definite attempt to change his height in order to avoid the ball carrier's head, so he will therefore miss Ireland's quarter-final against New Zealand on Saturday, as well as the semi-final and final should Ireland qualify. If they don't qualify for these games, he'll be out for his next club match or matches with Connacht in the Pro 14. That's upon his return from international duty.
Okay, well, Bundiaki is obviously going to be a big loss. Johnny Sexton's been talking as well, Anne-Marie. We kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what's he have to say?
Yeah, speaking to reporters in Japan this morning, the out half has said they won't be reading too much into their recent wins over the All Blacks, but he has said that it'll take something new and a phenomenal performance to beat them at a World Cup in particular, where they're a different animal. He feels, though, that some of the recent commentary around Ireland has been unfair and unjustified.
We've been building, I think, pretty well. Apart from that poor sort of 60 minutes against Japan, you know, everything else has pretty much gone to plan. I suppose a lot of the negativity around us has been a little bit strange, but, you know, we're pretty confident and pretty positive in how we've been building. Obviously, we'd like to be playing better at times in some regards, but I think hopefully we can put that out there on Saturday now.
No, like we're very self-critical. Like we're critical of ourselves in terms of our performances, and obviously after the Japan game, we would have liked to have done things differently. But we kind of knew what good a team Japan were, so we always knew that that could happen if we didn't play well, and it did happen.
No, it's not a talking point. It's something that we just get a sense of, you know, when you get texts saying keep the head up, we're still behind you. you get a feeling that there's some things out there that aren't great. And, you know, Shuckers gives us the lowdown before we come in here what to expect. So we know that, you know, things weren't great. But when it's funny when you compare things to some people trying to compare it to 07 when they just scraped past them, maybe, and we beat Georgia or Russia 35-0. How there can be comparisons there, I'm not quite sure, in totally different conditions.
And that's OTB AM, our sports breakfast show that's on every weekday morning from 7:30. You'll find it on offtheball.com, YouTube, Twitter and Facebook. So you can start your day with Off The Ball. See our social channels for full broadcast details.
And every night this week as well, we're giving you a chance to win dinner for two at the award-winning Brasserie at the luxurious five-star Marker Hotel. The Brasserie is located directly beside the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, and it's the perfect location for pre-theatre dinings, parties for the festive season as well. And to be able to chance of winning, just answer this question. Who scored Ireland's first try against Samoa on Saturday? Text your name and answer to 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, and we'll contact the winner after the show. It's all with thanks to the Brasserie at the Marker Hotel, where you can enjoy their menu, which is a unique twist on the traditional. We're going then, Anne-Marie, to the football then, because the Republic of Ireland have been getting some training in Geneva.
Yeah, they trained at tomorrow evening's match venue in Geneva as preparations continue for that Euro 2020 qualifier against Switzerland. As we said, Mick McCarthy's side top of Group D, but level on points with Denmark after the weekend's results. They need a win from one of their last two games to make it to next summer's tournament. With David McGoldrick ruled out through injury, speculation has been mounting in the last few hours that 19-year-old Aaron Connolly may start. The Galway native only made his senior debut over the weekend, but McCarthy has said it wouldn't be a risk to give him the nod.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, I think it's asking me would I risk him. Some suggestion that there is. I don't think there is. After he's now made his debut, he had a cameo and did well in it, and I think he'd be feeling comfortable about himself. So, no, I don't think it would be a risk at all to start him.
Kieran, in terms of a start for tomorrow night, whether it's down the left instead of James McLean or whether it's up front, is it worth taking that risk on Aaron Connolly?
Well, I think it's no bigger a risk than starting Scott Hogan or James Collins. You know, James Collins has scored one goal. He scored in a friendly against Bulgaria. Scott Hogan's never scored, never looked like scoring. Seanan Maguire, in his appearances, has struggled to make the same impact he makes at Preston. And so I think, you know, you have to go with them because it's a game, you know, there's a kind of a safety net there because of the Denmark game. So I think this is a game to go for it. And I think there's a bit of pressure on Switzerland as well because of losing to Denmark. It's a must-win game for them, and they'll feel it's a must-win game for them. And I think, you know, that can have a negative effect on a home team at times, especially if it's a bit tight early on. And you would just... I remember back in the day when Brian Kerr was managing Damien Duff at underage level, and he'd go into very detailed team instructions, and at the end he'd say to Damien, Duffer, you just forget all that, you just do what you want. And I think there's kind of a a bit of that with Connolly. Mm. I think just give him, you know, go out and play like you did against Tottenham. You know, just do it. Just go for it.
John Kilkenny's been in contact in the text. Says, wow, do your guests want great games for the Republic of Ireland and have us not qualify, or have bad games and qualify? They can't have both. So what the argument would be, you'd like to see results, but maybe more progressive football on top of that as well.
Yeah, and we haven't, Ireland haven't qualified, you know. And I think it was two drop points on Saturday. So, you know, it's made life a lot trickier. So I think a more confident performance would have put Ireland in a far better position.
Because Georgia was a free hit in a way, because Georgia held Denmark, which meant that Denmark had dropped 2 points.
Yeah.
The argument is that Ireland should have went out with the incentive to get a win, and then they would just need 1 point in these last two games.
Absolutely. And what's often a lot more convincing, like Mick McCarthy is very bullish after the game. You know, he's given out about the negativity and the doom and gloom, as he called it, around the place. And he argued that it was a very good point. But I thought it was far more telling both what Shane Duffy had to say in his body language. And he looked really fed up, and he knew it was a game they should have won. And partly that could be down to, like, he's one of the best headers in the ball of the Premier League. Like, him and Virgil van Dijk are two players you'd expect to bury that chance when the ball came across, a free header late on. And, you know, he just had his head in his hands. He knew that. That's like a tap into him. Mm. You know, he puts those away all the time. So it was a lost opportunity. I think just saying, it was a great point. I don't think anybody can argue that was a great point.
Anne-Marie, England had a very rare defeat, lost to the Czech Republic, their first qualifier defeat in a decade. They're looking to bounce back tonight?
Yeah, they can guarantee their qualification tonight with two games left to play. As you said, they slipped up on Friday against the Czech Republic. They'll look to put that behind them. They face Bulgaria away tonight. Gareth Southgate's side will advance if they win and Kosovo don't beat Montenegro. So they do have to rely on that. There's five changes to the England starting 11. They're lining out with Jordan Pickford in goal, Ben Chilwell, Tyrone Mings, Harry Maguire and Kieran Trippier as the back four. Ross Barkley, Harry Winks and Jordan Henderson then in the middle of the field with Marcus Rashford, Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling up front. Kickoff there is at 7:45. Five changes to that defeat that they slipped up on Friday night.
Situation with Wales then, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, Wales manager Ryan Giggs come in for criticism today. That's after saying that Daniel James was being streetwise after an aerial collision against Croatia in their qualifier. The 21-year-old Manchester United winger received lengthy treatment. He did pass concussion tests, but that was after a heavy challenge during their qualifier. Giggs claimed that James was using his nous by staying down. Brain injury charity Headway then came on the case, saying that it's not acceptable for concussion protocols to be used for tactical gain, and he has come under some criticism for not taking concussion as seriously as it should be.
It's an interesting topic, Kieran, because Dave McIntyre was commenting on this game last night, and I saw his comments afterwards that he thought it wasn't a case of Daniel James pretending to be injured or not injured. It looked like he was in a pretty bad way and he should have been taken off.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know the ins and outs, like, obviously not qualified to make a medical judgment on it, but I do find often that there's not, in football, they don't take it seriously enough, and that there's often a bit of play acting around it, and that whether managers don't want a player to be stood down or whatever, or too much made of it, they often tend to play these things down. We've seen quite a few examples over the years, but I think Ryan Giggs would have been better advised not have commented on that, or commented in a different way. I think he's thrown more petrol in the flames, really.
It'll always be a case of safety first when it comes to concussion injuries. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre with Michael Lina, Brian O'Driscoll, Keith Wood, Paul Howard, a.k.a. Ross O'Carroll Kelly, Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas as well, and former captain of South Africa, Bobby Skinstad as well. If you've missed out on tickets, our next great show is just around the corner as well. We're going to be in Cork on October the 23rd. That's Wednesday week. We've got a full line of guests, which we're going to be revealing very, very soon. It'll either be a post-mortem or a losing quarterfinal, or a preview of our first ever World Cup semi-final. Keep an eye out on offtheball.com/events for more details. Tickets are extremely limited for this broadcast, so they'll be gone in a flash as well. It's all in association with Heineken, official worldwide partner to Rugby World Cup Japan 2019. Visit drinkaware.ie. Just looking through some of the rest of your texts as well on 53106, Kieran, the suggestion that Peter Schmeichel is just trying to inspire Ireland to get a result so Denmark know they're qualified.
No, I don't think...
Not quite that tactical, is he?
No, I don't think Schmeichel could care less about Ireland.
We've got a racing achievement as well, Anne-Marie, today.
Yeah, Joseph O'Brien recorded his 500th winner as a trainer today, just 3.5 years since retiring from the saddle. His three-year-old Paisley won the 520 at Gorham Park today. His brother Dunica on board for him there.
Big family event there for the O'Briens as well. Fionnuala's been in contact as well. Guys, why are you not leading the sport with the women's marathon record being smashed by 81 seconds? I guess it's been an interesting weekend for the marathon because you got so much coverage about the fact that the men's marathon record was unofficially broken, first time going sub 2 hours. But for a lot of us, it leaves a fairly weird taste in the mouth as well because it happened at effectively a Nike sponsor
event. Yeah, and I think you can't escape all the headlines that have been around Nike in the last few weeks over their links with Alberto Salazar. And the Nike Oregon project was actually disbanded last week. And then so a couple of days later, you're supposed to celebrate something that is effectively a Nike gig. And with Nike shoes that are supposed to add up to 4% performance boost, like they're effectively spring-loaded, those shoes, like they're bizarre. But also because people are quite skeptical with what Nike gets involved in. And the women's marathon record was smashed yesterday. And increasingly, people don't like to see records smashed because that was a record that people have wondered about for a while.
We saw the scene then, with the 1500 metres with Ciara McGeehan on OTBM, and she was pointing out this is as quick a time as she thinks she can do. She thinks 3:51 is unachievable for her, and we're always sceptical when, you know, her time would have been good enough to win a medal going right back to 2001. It makes us extremely sceptical.
Yeah, it does. World records will inevitably be beaten at some stage, but I think it's always more believable or it's easier to buy into things when they're beaten by a small margin. When something is smashed to ribbons that's been there for a long time and it's a record that was questioned at that time, you just wonder, should we be celebrating? Should you just... We've been stung so often that you're afraid to buy into something completely, I think.
The argument almost goes, you've almost won too well.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
Ciaran and Anne-Marie, thanks a million for coming in. Anne-Marie's going to be keeping you up to date throughout the show here on Off the Ball as well, with bulletins at 8 and 9 p.m. with the very latest sports news. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by former Republic of Ireland defender Damien Delaney to look back on that tiring and lacklustre draw in Tbilisi, but looking as to whether the Republic of Ireland can get a result in Switzerland, a win tomorrow, which would send the team to Euro 2020.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.